Homeland Security is now raiding properties owned by Sean Diddy Combs in both L.A. and Miami over possible sex trafficking allegations against the rapper. CBS Miami's Najah Sherman has more from the feds.
They released this statement saying, quote, earlier today, Homeland Security investigators New York executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation.
Diddy has denied the claims. Shohei Ohtani is addressing claims about his former interpreter, the L.A. Dodgers star, speaking through a new interpreter.
He admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker.
The guy's accused of stealing millions from Ohtani to pay gambling debts. And jury selection in former President Trump's hush money case will start April 15th in New York. CBS's Robert Costa.
When he was asked by reporters if he believes a conviction could affect him, he said it could actually help me.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Join us live today from 3 to 4 for Playmakers, where we'll be joined by Tyler Miller of the Rafters to preview the upcoming season, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Racine County District Attorney is investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on petitions seeking a recall election against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says her signature was forged.
I feel extremely violated. I am a librarian, if I can say that, and truth matters to me.
Haggerty spoke with WYSN-TV's Up Front. Country forest roads in Wisconsin are getting money from the state. $320,000 will pay for fixing up 900 miles of country forest roads in 24 counties this year. The Country Forest Road AIDS program was set up to pay for improving and maintaining public roads in country forests. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a special meeting of the Police and Fire Commission in the village of Port Edwards tonight. Fire Chief Jason Warden resigned on March 14th, stating his exhaustion in fighting with the village board. He said blind obedience was the only way to remain fire chief over the last year, and he was done. Close to a dozen firefighters have resigned following Chief Warden's resignation. The meeting, starting at 5 p.m. tonight at the Marshall Buehler Center, will discuss and review the advertisement for the open fire chief position. The Village of Buren Board of Trustees will hold a public meeting at 6 tonight to discuss regulation and ordinance review for residential Airbnb short-term rentals. On Tuesday, March 26th, the following meetings will take place in Portage County. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet at 5 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The Village of Whiting will hold their Public Works and Parks meeting at 6. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Stock up and save big on everyday essentials now at Menards. We have it all from big to small and everything in between. Keep your devices powered with Energizer Max batteries. They deliver consistent performance and can hold power for up to 10 years while in storage. Energizer Max batteries are on sale now through March 31st. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles held on to beat Colorado 81-77 in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Up next, they face North Carolina State Friday night in Dallas. Shaka Smart has Marquette back to the Sweet 16 in just his third year as head coach.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Bucks head coach and Marquette alum Doc Rivers.
I talked to Shaka after the game, and there were five times I thought tonight where Marquette could have let go of the rope because they kept scoring. Colorado just puts pressure on you.
The Bucks got a decisive win, 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bucks host the Lakers tomorrow night. Badgers basketball sophomore guard Connor Asigian has announced he plans to leave Wisconsin and enter the transfer portal after his team lost to James Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain with even a few rumbles of thunder tonight as temps fall to 45 by dawn, recover to 50 by midday as rain showers continue, but then temps fall in the afternoon. There could be a snow shower later tomorrow afternoon. For Wednesday, a partly sunny sky and a high temperature near 35. Right now it's 37.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, Todd Alba joins the show. Then we hear from the League of Women Voters about the two referendum on the April 2nd ballot. Don't miss it.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Monday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842 is the number. Johnny Lupinacci, my friend, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing good. It's Monday. You know, it's a great week. We're starting off, and so we got awesome topics all week and amazing guests and you know what, Tim? Like, why waste
amazing
time? Let's get to it.
Well, waste any time. We've got to put out there, though, again, Civic Media app, just in case people are saying, you know, you got to download the Civic Media app, because with that said, even if you're in Finland, which we know people in Finland actually are using the app to listen to Busted Pencils, that's what's so great about downloading the app. The other thing I wanted to point out there, too, if people are following us, you know, following on Twitter, we have a Busted Pencils blog spot out, and put it out there right now. Hey, if you're listening and you're going, man, I wish I could say something on the radio. Hey, volunteer, let us know, because if it's about public education and you've got something important to say, Busted Pencils wants to hear from you. So let us know, Johnny. So we're out there actively recruiting. And then the other thing I want to put out there, I am looking for one of our first listeners to host a Busted Pencils listening party right there, Johnny. Busted Pencils listening party. Little teaser there. Not exactly sure where we're going to go with that. But again, plant the seeds and put it out there. Our guest tonight, though, man, we've been trying for the longest time. And Paul had a tough time when we were only on Tuesdays. Now that we're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Now we're five, more options.
5 days a week, 5 days a week, which is better for our guests like Paul, who said, I can now finally do the show. Welcome, Paul Thomas. How are you, our friend?
Wonderful. Thank you all for having me. Sorry to be difficult.
No, it's not. It was us, you know, it was only Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Central Time. And guests could either make it or not. So we are just happy to have you, Paul. Paul Thomas, he is, the blogger at Paul, give the name of your blog again.
It's now just radicalscholarship.com.
Yeah, that's it. For some reason, the radical had stopped in my head. Radicalscholarship.com. Check it out. Paul is out there. He is one of the most prolific scholar bloggers I could see out there, and again, just really roots everything he puts down in there. But Paul got a great piece out there, The Science Of, and I just want to read from it. Just down a little bit further, but quote, spurred in early 2018 with the rise of the science of reading, the science of movement appears to be in full swing with the addition of the science of learning, the science of writing, the science of math. Mostly following frantic claims of crisis based on test scores, usually NAEP data. Paul, what is all this science of crap going on out there? Everything is the science of. I think that's your point here, right?
Right. It was kind of weird. I was shocked when the science of reading took off, but here lately it's kind of gone ballistic. And the science of learning, I think, is the weird one. It's really all over kind of social media. And it's just become the shorthand, I think, for just, it's just branding and marketing. I think for most of us, most people, this is just another cycle of Common Core. When Common Core came out, everything was Common Core, right? I mean, we've labeled everything, all the textbooks, everything was Common Core. The standards were Common Core. The textbooks were Common Core. The testing was Common Core. So I think Science Of is just our newest round of education branding.
So it's a marketing ploy you put out there. You just say, you know, I'm concerned about that. But what about people, though, Paul? Let's just give you one moment here. People are going, but the science of reading, let's hit this one because I know this one is close to you. But Paul, the science of reading is different this time. We have really figured it out, and we are really now pushing forward all of the evidence that is out there that says if you're going to teach reading, this is what you have to do. The science, Paul, it's the science. How could you argue with science? Are you saying climate change? Are you a climate change denier, Paul Thomas?
Yeah, I think that's really the lever. I think that's really, and people have done that repeatedly. What's really interesting to me is Lou LeBrant, 1947. There's a considerable gap between research and practice. 1960s, Gene Chaul. And I think that's where you can really find the roots of the science of reading movement is Gene Chaul, 1960s. And, you know, I've been teaching since the early 1980s. And I have never seen a program or anything in education that didn't claim to be evidence-based, research-based, science-based. So this is not anything new. And the most frustrating thing is No Child Left Behind mandated scientifically-based, everything had to be scientifically based, anything that you adopted, anything that you did. So over 20 years ago, we established that everything had to be scientific. So this isn't new and nothing is settled, especially on reading. That's the most misleading thing is even the cognitive scientists themselves have admitted that, you know, brain research has not found anything that can guide practice. And even cognitive scientists don't agree with each other. Some people aren't so sure all this brain imaging really proves anything. So it, again, it's kind of a simplistic journalistic view. And then the marketing is what grabbed it. I mean, if we can get all these programs banned, then schools have to buy new programs. So, if you look up the chain, what's really interesting is the same people own the companies. The same people own the companies of the banned programs as the new mandated ones. So they're thrilled. It's just, it's commercial churn. And so a lot of this is just bait and switch.
Johnny.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Paul. You know, like you brought such light to this and, you know, you just alluded to it, but I was going to say, so like what's the thing? Like where's this getting purported? Like, how do we get from like, oh, there's the science of this to it being like, hey, but this is banned and here's the new thing. Like, where is this mostly occurring? Where's this information, you know, going awry?
Well, I mean, it really started with, you know, Emily Hanford and America Public Media. She had a couple articles. A lot of people ignore. She had a dyslexia article in 2017. And then the big one was Hard Words in 2018. But I've really been fascinated how her podcast has permeated the entire country. People find Sold a Story very compelling. There's a lot of dramatic music. There's a lot of personal stories, which are very compelling. And many scholars, people, you know, publishing in Reading Research Quarterly and stuff, have pointed out that it's this bait and switch. You say science, and then you give an anecdote. You say science, and you give an anecdote. And the anecdotes are compelling. So I think that's the dynamic, media and marketing working together.
When you say though, let's pull that out though, because there is something to you. You say there's media, there's marketing, because using that science of that's trying to communicate to, as Johnny and I always point out to the show, to my neighbor who's over there listening, going like, that's good stuff then, because it's science, or what they're also trying to say, it's proven to work. Right. It starts sounding like those commercials. It's proven. It's research backed. It's science. We guarantee this. And if you're not doing science, and as you said, Paul, like with the science of reading, the soul, the story, they've also really created a very compelling narrative of a boogeyman out there that needs to be slain, because now that we have finally seen the light of science, we can go out and kill the bad reading and the bad reading teacher monster.
Right. And I think, and I was just thinking, a real good comparison here is there's the American Medical Association version of science, and there's mm-hmm. the supplement version of science. And as we know, the supplement version of science is completely fraud. And I don't want to get too academic, but there's a good piece by Edling from 2015, and it's international, talking about how once you say science, you've created this veneer that if you contest it, you just said it a minute ago, so you're against science. So it's really a very powerful. And what's interesting to me is if you look like several governors have picked that up where they say, you know, we've adopted the science of reading, you know, phonics. And it's those three things work together: media, marketing, and politics. And, Howard Gardner did great work on this. For political messaging, black and white language works. And the bad thing is most things aren't black and white, but the science non-science binary is very powerful, which is weird because during COVID that didn't work.
Right.
No. And yeah, Johnny, go ahead.
Well, no, I think this is really great because, you know, it's getting into, we often talk on this show about how democracy is messing, getting into the weeds and the complexities of, it's not just an either or. You know, we talk a lot about, we're so pro public education. That doesn't mean that there aren't things about public education that we think ought to change. So like getting into the weeds around this, I love, Paul, where you're taking us and for our listeners too, that there are some complexities to the sciences, right? And
right.
So we're not just creating the science or not science.
Right. If you think about medicine, I use this example all the time. If you read the fine print, that medicine you're taking, some people die. Right. And some people it doesn't work for. So science means that most people under very narrow circumstances will have. So X people will have Y outcome under these circumstances. But there's two outliers. There's people for whom the thing is dangerous, and there are people for whom the thing will not work at all. I am weirdly allergic to Tylenol. And the first time I took it, I nearly died. But they still sell Tylenol, right? Like they know that. They know there's a percentage of people. So in the classroom, you do not have a general population. So anything that is proven by science doesn't mean it's going to work for all your students. And it actually may be harmful for some of your students.
The way you just put that too, is it may not work for all. I think that's where we really want to dig into that, because yeah, using these kind of blanket, we need to do this, we must do this, and if we don't do anything, we're going to be in trouble because this is the solution to our problem. Boy, Paul Thomas, check it out. You know, Radical Scholarship is his blog. We're talking about the science of movement. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number, too, if you want to jump in, give us a call. It's 855-752-4842. 855-752-482. More with Paul Thomas when we get back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. The science of our guest Paul Thomas, Radical Scholarship. Check out his blog. Paul, all of this confusion around science of, though, you left us at the part where we're talking about, you know, however, even recognize that when science says that for a lot of people this will work, science also tells you that for certain people things don't work, and in fact not only don't work, sometimes might be incredibly harmful. And so pointing that out is how do we help people understand that what you're pointing out, though, is that you're not making an argument to not use research to drive policy, practice, and teaching. Help us make sense of that argument.
Right. When I did, I'm going to plug myself here, when I did a policy brief for NEPC in 2022, we decided that the key thing was, our kind of focal point was arguing against one size fits all. And I think that's the huge mistake we've made, is I don't think there's anybody out there saying that the only thing that you have to do to teach reading is phonics, right? That's a straw man. Nobody thinks that exists. There's also nobody saying don't teach any phonics. But the science of reading movement is saying systematic phonics for all students. And that's completely wrong. There are children who come to school who don't need systematic phonics. Also, you know, Stephen Krashen, who is wonderful, he's one of the smartest people on literacy in the world, not just the country. He argues that we learn a great deal of phonics by reading. So I think that's where the rub comes, is a teacher. Again, we don't want to get too specific about teaching here, but there's a lot of different kinds of evidence when you teach. I happen to argue the very first and most important are your students. So you start with the evidence of your students. Every teacher should know what the research says, of course. But then you're applying the research based on the needs of your students. And I think this is really where the harm is. We are seeing students harmed. And I hear the science of reading people, this doesn't hurt anybody. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, I disagree. If any student is doing something in class that they don't need and could be doing something different, you're hurting them. And that's the simple version.
Well, you think about, I've tried that, you know, and again, I'm not a literacy person, so I get yelled at by literacy people, you know, being just a weird social studies guy. But it's just like, my anecdotal evidence that I'm going to use is that my kids, my daughter, who got dibbled to the point that she almost started to hate reading. And the reason why, Paul, is because her speed of pronouncing nonsense words wasn't fast enough, and I kept going, but she doesn't need to know nonsense words, she's already reading. Why are you yelling at her for her speed, her fluency, they were using the word, her fluency of nonsense words, Tim? It's a real frightening statistic you should be really made aware of. And I said, but she's reading before she found out that she had a problem reading nonsense words quickly, she was reading.
Right. So I think the key word there is nonsense, right? Having having students pronounce nonsense words to prove that they know a phonics rule is putting the wrong thing as your goal. Our goal is not that kids acquire phonics rules. Our goal is that kids become eager and independent readers, right? And we have evidence. Yellen has a piece, Y-E-L-L-A-N-D, in the Teachers College Record, that students who are already reading at comprehension have very low nonsense words test scores because they slow down to make meaning. And the slowing down to make meaning means they score worse. So these nonsense tests, like Dibbles, there's many of them now, is really harmful. And it's really misrepresenting. It's very easy to raise beginning reader scores on things like nonsense, a word test, but it doesn't prove anything. That's not, our goal is comprehension. And if we're not actually measuring comprehension, we shouldn't even be able to say that it's reading.
But you put that there, and this moves into this. It's like, and because though of quote some of the science of the banning, you talk about this, Paul, in the science of, you know,
right.
And so what ends up happening is a movement of banning, and that is where you say, hold on a minute, let's talk about what banning might imply, might mean, or again the effects. Talk about what it means when you, what happens when Paul Thomas hears somebody say, we need to ban.
Well, this is where the cherry picking and the ideology comes into it. So you've got states banning 3Q-ing, which is, we won't talk about that. It's very misleading. But at the same time, they're mandating or allowing decodable text, OG phonics, letters training. And guess what? None of those have scientific support. So if states are banning based on no science and then mandating things that are not supported by science, that's the proof. This is purely ideological. This is purely marketing. And I think the big one, the most offensive one, is the OG training. No, there's no research. There's two fairly recent studies out that say that Orton-Gillingham methods, which is called multisensory approaches, are no more effective than other approaches. I mean, there's multiple studies out, there's meta-analyses out, but OG phonics is very popular with the dyslexia community, and it's very aggressive. It's also extremely expensive. And that's the program that's been adopted by New York City. So, for example, New York City is banning units of study by Lucy Calkins, but implementing OG phonics programs. I mean, technically, you could say both are not supported by science, which I think is silly. They are both perfectly legitimate. I have no problems with them being implemented. I'm sure there are people being successful with units of study. I am certain people are being successful with OG phonics. The problem is picking and choosing what you ban, picking and choosing what you mandate, and pretending you're using an objective scientific measure to make that decision.
That's great. Johnny. Anecdotally, we got a text in from an unnamed texter. It said, as a child, I hated phonics. It made no sense and was frustrating. Right. So, so for that learner out there, probably totally true. It was like, not, it was, well, science backed it. It was not good science for he, her, they, them, whoever it was who texted that, you know, and that kind of reiterates Paul's experience with Tylenol. Like, for a whole lot of generalized population, Tylenol, I'm sure Tylenol does what it needs to do.
Right.
But there's alternatives that for those folks who for whom Tylenol is deadly, that they have some pain relief. Right. So
you know,
I love what you're saying here, Paul. It's like, we don't have a one size fits all, even when there's evidence that it can work with some folks.
Right.
Right?
Can, well, I got here with Dick and Jane readers. I never had phonics. I literally had Dick and Jane, right? This whole word.
Yeah, well, and Paul, we got into this in the show the last couple of weeks. You know, we've been tearing up the NAEP scores, and we've been talking a little bit about the political agenda here. So when we come back from the break, Tim, you take us to the break. But when we come back from the break, I got to ask you some questions about big lies of education. And that's coming from Paul Thomas' blog. I love
Paul Thomas.
So we're going to dig into it.
More when we get back.
everybody. It's Todd Allbaugh. Noon to 2 on Tuesday, it's Matt Flynn, direct right here on the Todd Allbaugh Show at 12:30. Don't miss it on Civic Media.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Potawatomi Tribe is announcing plans for its casino and hotel in Milwaukee to go carbon neutral by the year 2050. Part of the plan will mean digging a geothermal hole about 600 feet deep. The project aims to fulfill up to 40% of the hotel and casino's heating and cooling needs. Only two members of the Wisconsin legislature are considered working class, according to recent research from Duke University and Loyola University Chicago. It may explain why voters feel their representatives are out of touch.
Our elected officials don't really come from the same set of backgrounds that most Americans come from.
Eric Hansen is one of the study's co-authors. Those working class lawmakers, by the way, are Senator Robert Wirch and Representative Dave Maxey. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Yesterday marked 29 years that Deidre Weeks' killer has not been charged with her murder. 11-year-old Deidre was riding her bike home on March 24, 1995. She was just north of Vesper when Deidre was struck and killed by a vehicle that immediately fled the scene. The Wood County Sheriff's Department continues to investigate the murder. There are people in our community who know the truth. They still have time to allow the family and community to heal. You can contact Sheriff Becker or Lieutenant Goldberg with information at any time by calling 715-421-8700. If you're looking for ways to help the Marshfield community, Mayor Lois Teestrake is looking for you. The City of Marshfield needs citizens to serve on boards, commissions, and committees. You can submit a letter of interest to the clerk's office stating your qualifications and reasons for wanting to serve. You can find out more on the city's website. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Roadhouse reboot is now available on Amazon Prime for your viewing for viewing. The film stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor and is a remake of the Patrick Swayze film from 1989. The film is not good unless you like watching movies about really bad people. And in news that is not really said to anyone, Michael Jordan's son Marcus and Scottie Pippen's ex-wife Larsa have called it quits after dating for 2 years. People magazine reports that the split between the contestants of Traitors Season 2 was confirmed by someone familiar with the situation who did not have the authority to speak publicly. That's right, this person apparently risked their life to inform a tabloid that two people broke up. That is truly courage under fire. In a related story, there is no word yet on whether Michael Jordan's mom is still dating Steve Kerr. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain with even a few rumbles of thunder tonight as temps fall to 45 by dawn, recover to 50 by midday as rain showers continue, but then temps fall in the afternoon. There could be a snow shower later tomorrow afternoon. For Wednesday, a partly sunny sky and a high temperature near 35. Right now it's 37.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Yeah. That's it. That's what we do all the time. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. It is Monday night, man, just blowing up our guest, Paul Thomas, Radical Scholarship. Check out his blog, Science of Movement. We've kind of gotten into the little bit of a science of reading, and we knew we were going to go there. But, Paul, you know, one of the things that gets us into this, though, is, and Johnny was pointing this out, is NAEP scores, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, seems to be that anytime those tests are taken and those scores are released, we can almost always count on something being mandated to help the scores and something being banned to also help the scores. Are we off base here, or I mean, help us.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, in the last 20 years, it's been NAEP, and it was, you know, in my teaching career in the 80s and 90s, it was the SAT, which is completely misusing that information. But every time the SAT was released, we just went ballistic. At least NAEP gives us like 2 and 4 year cycles, so it's not every year. But most people don't realize NAEP was created to hold the states accountable. That's why it was created, to give a standard. And it is only a random sampling of students. So not every student takes it. It's just a random sampling of every state. Math and reading have 2 year cycles, and writing and other areas are longer cycles. But what's really upsetting is the proficiency level. The measure called proficiency, it's set at the 70th percentile. It is designed for only 30% of students to meet it. And we use the word proficiency rhetorically. I wouldn't say we. The media and politicians use the word proficiency interchangeably with grade level. Mm-hmm. And so you would assume that grade level would mean most students. Although what's really frustrating is there's no norm in this country. We have no normative definition for grade level. We have no normative definition for proficiency. And we don't have like a national agenda, like how many students in third grade, how many students in eighth grade should be at this level. It's, these things are never discussed. They're never laid out. So proficiency is used, to me, as weaponized. It's a way to keep the country thinking that we're in constant crisis. And again, that started with the Nation at Risk. So for at least 40 years, we've been in a constant state of educational crisis.
Yeah, what, Paul, can you put that down? Hold on, Tim. Let me just get this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listeners, you know, you and I did like, you know, a whole kind of opinion-based, as ed researchers and educators, like, you know, our whole beef with NAEP and everything. And it's aligned with Paul, but Paul offers some really clear analysis here. And Paul, I want to back up to that. When you said proficiency is set at 70%, that means only 30% receive proficient or above. So, but what is that? Can you characterize, what does that mean for, like, for people who are below 70%? Does that mean like they're not only like, are we to be worried about, you know, this majority of children?
Absolutely not. So, Tom Loveless, who I would say is a pretty traditional, relatively conservative, person on education. He's got a 2016, I think a 2023 piece on NAEP. And honestly, you know, I think the short version is that there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And basic in NAEP means at grade level approximately. So while people like Nicholas Kristof actually had a headline in New York Times that 2/3 of students aren't proficient at reading in the United States. Well, technically that's true. It doesn't mean anything, because the truth is, according to NAEP, about 2/3 of students are at grade level or above, which to me doesn't really sound that bad. I don't know.
Right.
Are we happy if 70% of kids are at grade level? Do we want it to be more? And there is a 90 and 95% movement out there, but it's complete hokum. This 90, 95% rule movement, if you look it up, there's a link in the latest NCTQ report. There's a footnote. And I thought, well, finally, because I did a review of this, I said, like, finally, you know, we'll find out. It's a link to a blog. The 95% rule is a link to a blog. And I went to the blog, and it's this guy going, where did this come from? And there's like two or three really weak studies from 2004 where a researcher speculates that 90% of kids can read at grade level. I don't even know what that means. Does he mean at third grade? Eventually? Mm-hmm. We don't know. So I would say the honest thing to say is we don't know.
Yeah.
How well students are reading or at math.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball.
One dribble up, it's good, and a foul. Step back, three is good. And Wisconsin pulls off the upset on senior day, 78-70 over 12th-ranked Michigan.
Wisconsin women's basketball is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show. Here's the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball, John Arias.
For many, the number 13 carries a shadow of bad luck. But for third-year coach Marissa Mosley's team, it marks a milestone. After 13 years of missing out on the postseason, this year's Badgers squad is the first at Wisconsin to battle their way back to basketball in mid-March. And they'll open up play in this year's WNIT tonight on the road as they face Southern Indiana. It's time for postseason hoops. It's time for Badger basketball. It's Wisconsin in the second round of the WNIT, Badgers and Screaming Eagles. And coming up on tonight's pregame show, rather, we'll take a look at the scout of Southern Indiana with assistant coach Tiffany Morton. We'll look inside the Badgers and the WNIT as well, coming up later on in this pregame show. But up next, we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley, and this is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a Civic Media station. Download our free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
From Screaming Eagles Arena in Evansville, Indiana, John Audius with you. WNIT second round action between Wisconsin and Southern Indiana. Now joined by the Badgers head coach, Marissa Mosley. Can you kind of take me through the process of learning about the WNIT? Because number one, you learn you're going to play, then you get the first round bye. Can you just kind of take me through before you learned that you were here?
Yeah, you know, there was talk that maybe we would have an opportunity to play in the postseason. And so we practiced for 3 days, kind of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We gave the team off Saturday and Sunday, knowing we'd find out on Sunday if we were going to play. And then it was kind of that night, and then it was like, are we playing? Are we at the bye? So there was a lot of kind of waiting and anticipating. But the one thing that we told our players is no matter what the draw is or anything like that, this is a special opportunity to get to continue to play basketball with this group.
Yeah, it is special. It's the first time at Wisconsin that a team has made the postseason in 13 years. So what does it mean for the program to be able to say that?
I think it just shows, the continued improvement. I think, it shows the commitment that these players have put into this season, that our goal was to get to the postseason, obviously the NCAA tournament. But when you're building, you're taking steps forward. This is another one of those steps.
Your team hasn't played since the Big Ten tournament. That was back on March 7th, almost 3 weeks ago. Does that help in any way?
Yes, I think so. There's, they got some really great rest, just mentally being able to be more fresh. And I think there's an excitement because you haven't had games. And so now we get an opportunity to go out and play tonight.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about tonight. Southern Indiana, it's a team that won its first game against UIC. What do you see as most pressing when you look at the Screaming Eagles?
I think they're a veteran group that had an excellent season, the regular season, and as they're transitioning, they're weren't eligible for the tournament, but I think they play really hard. They play really well together, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us on their home floor to have two teams who are excited to be in the postseason get an opportunity to compete.
Best of luck.
All right. Thank you so much.
That's head coach Marissa Mosley. It's the Badgers taking on the Screaming Eagles of Southern Indiana. And up next, we'll learn about Southern Indiana USI with assistant coach Tiffany Morton. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer, black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Battleground, purple, swing state. You've heard the terms, but what connects it to elections? Wisconsin has been a swing state off and on since the 1950s, but recent elections solidified it when the state could have been won by either the Democratic or Republican candidate. Michigan and Minnesota, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, also swing states. Watch for more campaigns to target Wisconsin and these other states before the next election. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to Evansville, Indiana. WNIT action as the Badgers in the second round get the home team Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles. Now joined by Wisconsin assistant coach Tiffany Morton. Congratulations on making the postseason. What's it mean for your team to get to the WNIT?
Thank you. We're excited. Again, a great opportunity for us to continue to play, to make it postseason. That's been one of our goals all season. So to see it to come fruition, again, seeing the hard work pay off, we know we're headed in the right direction.
Let's talk about tonight's opponent, the Screaming Eagles. Got a victory in their first round matchup to get to this point, and Vanessa Shafford is their leading scorer this season, but she was held in single figures in their last game. So I guess, how do you handle her?
Again, great player for them, leading scorer and leading rebounder as a guard, does a great job as is one that's going to hunt for her shots. So knowing that, again, she doesn't need much space to get that shot off. We're going to make sure we stay attached, make sure that she's taking tough contested shots over us, and we're going to try and limit her touches as much as possible.
You know, in that first round victory over UIC, Trinity Ralston coming off a career high 25 points. I guess, I don't know, maybe she's coming into her own at the right time, but it almost gives you guys another person to scout.
Absolutely. Again, like you said, she had the career high 25 points last game. She's definitely somebody that we respect, definitely somebody that we've got circled on our scouting report. Again, want to make sure that we contain her penetration. She does a great job getting downhill. Her three-point range as far as her shot has been much better as of late. And so, again, going to respect that, contest every shot, and, again, make her take tough contested shots over us while containing her penetration.
Is there a Big Ten team that maybe Southern Indiana reminds you of?
Oh, that's a good one. As far as more of the ability to shoot, again, Indiana had a wide variety of shooters. So that's probably the closest one I'd say, when you've got to respect everybody on that perimeter. But again, just a great opportunity for us to come out tonight, compete, and play in the WNIT.
Yeah, and your team has played in front of really big crowds in the Big Ten, a much smaller arena here. I think it holds 4,800. They're expecting the lower bowl to be filled, but it's kind of a different environment.
Absolutely. Anything when it comes to postseason is a different type of environment, and it's an exciting type of environment for our student athletes to be able to partake in. So we're excited for our girls today.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
That's assistant coach Tiffany Morton. Keep it right here. The Badger Notebook is next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids
like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. AMDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Evansville, Indiana. John Audius with you as the pregame show continues. It's the Badgers in the second round of the WNIT taking on Southern Indiana here at Screaming Eagles Arena. It is time for the Badger Notebook. Now, Wisconsin is appearing in a postseason tournament for the first time in 13 years. The last time the Badgers made the postseason, 2011. That was in the WNIT as well. So it's been a while since Wisconsin has been able to get to this point. Now, back then, in 2011, their last WNIT appearance, they lost in the second round to Illinois State. Obviously, this is the second round now as the Badgers got a bye heading in to this game. But Wisconsin, of course, finished the regular season with 13 wins. They come in with a 13-16 overall record. It's the team's most wins since acquiring 15 wins in the 2018-2019 season. And just a reminder, yes, the Badgers had some postseason awards about 3 weeks ago or so in the Big Ten, including Sarah Williams being named to the first team All-Big Ten team. Sophomore Ronnie Porter was an honorable mention selection, and then Williams, of course, was awarded the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year as well, as Wisconsin is playing in the postseason for the first time since the 2010-2011 WNIT trip for the team back then. All right, we'll keep it right here. When we come back, we'll take a quick spin around the Big Ten and take a look at this WNIT tournament and a few other Big Ten teams in postseason action in the WNIT and what it means for Wisconsin if they pick up a win here tonight. That's next, and this is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way, you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
If you've got the right tools and the friendly people at U.S. Bank in your corner, making smarter money choices is a piece of cake. If only our tools and helpful advisors could have helped you avoid some of those not-so-smart choices in life.
Like that time you tried to pick up unicycling.
Whoa, coming through!
Or when you thought it'd be okay to pet that squirrel in the park.
Good squirrel, good squirrel.
While we can't help you with all that, we can help you bank smartly at usbank.com/smartertogether. Member FDIC.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Back in Evansville, Indiana, John Audius with you. Second round at the WNIT between the Badgers and the Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles. We'll take a quick spinner on the Big Ten in just a moment. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for a legal ID, 10 for station ID. And this is Badger Basketball.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
And it's time for a quick spin around the Big Ten as the Badgers are one of three Big Ten teams in WNIT action. Minnesota will play tomorrow against Pacific at 7 o'clock.